Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass is deep to his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done three things. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
All right. Welcome to Cannell and Bell hanging out. Rajah Bell, Danny Cannell. We got a big show lined up for you.
Big team.
I didn't mean to be disrespectful when I was doing that little news update right before. But seriously, who asked Steve Kerr if Boogie Cousins is going to be back for the playoffs? Like, he tore his quad. He's not going to be back.
Correct. God
bless
you, sir.
Like, whoever asked that,
bless your heart.
Yeah, exactly. It's very much a bless your heart moment. We got a big show. NBA playoffs and swing. We're going to review some of those matchups that took place last night. We got bat flip controversy. More of that.
And, bro. Let's lead.
No. We're going to dive into that later. Right. I can't wait to get into it. It might get a little volatile in here, too. And the NFL schedule release. Before we get to any of that, two things. One, have you ever heard people, you've heard the term, it's like riding a bike. Like, once you learn, you never forget. So I was at the eye doctor yesterday, and I had to get contacts. I had LASIK. It was good for about 15 years. Then my eyes started to get a little bit worse. You notice stuff. I've been wearing glasses and stuff. So I was like, you know what? I want to kind of have the option to not have to wear glasses. So I go to the eye doctor. They fit me for contacts. So she's like, it's just like riding a bike. You'll be fine. So in the office, it took me like 5 minutes to get it in. And she was like, oh, no, you'll be fine. Today, it took me like 10 minutes. I could not get it figured out. I felt so weird. Sticking my eyeball. It was so annoying.
I was going to ask you this morning if
my eyes
allergies.
Looked bloodshot.
Your eyes were red.
That's why. I also went out last night. So that might have been why they were having trouble getting in. But yeah, that's why my eyes look all. And this is the weird thing. I'm only doing one. So it's only this eye. Because to be able to read, like, I don't want to mess it up for reading. I don't know. It's a whole mess. It's a weird phenomenon going on right now. Because one eye I see distance and the other eye I read with.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's like monovision or something like that.
Okay.
All right. So we'll see. I'll keep you up to date on that.
That wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be kind of when you launched into that.
It wasn't that exciting. But I would share that because people are probably like, what's wrong with this eye? So I'm making sure everybody knows. The other thing, are you okay? There's a trend going on. It's very unsettling. Fat shaming in the NFL. And I am not cool with it. Everybody's okay with it. But everybody's okay with it. Like, normally there's a no policy on Twitter, social media, no fat shaming. But it's okay in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because our quarterback right here in Miami for the Miami Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, is being fat shamed over the place. Yes. People are making fun of him. They're laughing about him, posting unflattering pictures while he's working out. He does look huge.
How big is he?
We don't have a picture. I mean, told Coca to get it.
But he's got a job to do.
He does. He has, he's got the beard still, which I think makes you look bigger. All right. So that's the picture that everybody had going around. It's thick.
Looks like he's got his rib protector on there, though.
He does not. He doesn't have a rib protector
sure?
on. Yeah. He doesn't have anything on there. He looks massive.
Okay.
He looks borderline like he could be a center or a guard. So he was asked about it. And like all the reporters are like having fun with him. He comes out and he has seven kids, by the way. He has seven kids. But he said six of them have birthdays in January and March. And it's April right now. So he said he eats too much cake. He said he had too much cake. He said he'll be in shape by the time the season starts. But to be honest with you, I am a little bit worried. Like, the Dolphins probably are laughing because they want to tank and try to get Tua or Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The more inadequate, the better.
Yeah, so maybe that's what they're thinking. So they'll take that all the way to the bank. But stop fat-shaming NFL quarterbacks. It's not cool. Speaking of the NFL schedule was released, and that's not – you dialed in 8 p.m. I'm sure you were in front of the TV,
That was
right?
must-watch TV.
Yeah. You can't wait for the week six matchup.
Even when I played.
Right.
I didn't care about the schedule except when our primetime games were. That's all I really cared about. So I didn't have to watch the schedule release. I wasn't one of the people waiting around to see when we played. I could care less.
So I think you bring up an interesting point because as a player myself, I was worried about a couple things. Mm-hmm. And there was a rank of what you looked for first. First thing you look for, the bye week. When's my first weekend off?
Right.
Is it early? Is it late? Is it in the middle of the season? You always kind of like mid-October was kind of the sweet spot.
Yep.
It was about halfway, after six games because you played four preseason. That was kind of to catch your breath. The other one now I think the players would look for, and we did some Thursday night games.
Sure.
Because then you're doing short week. You're like, ew, that could be a headache. But you might get the weekend off after.
Right.
You could plan some stuff. Then it was, Monday night football games because that was the big, like, hey, that'd be cool to play in prime time. And the thing I always look for, and I don't know if anybody else did, and this is unique to football as well, was weather impacted game. Like, if you're going to play in Green Bay in December, yeah. which I did a couple times, you're like, oh, like, that's going to suck.
Right.
You know, and you're just like, it's something that you keep in the back of your mind as something to look out for. And then the other thing that I was looking at, and now, and this never impacted me in the regular season, was international games, which I think would be such a nightmare, the way the structure of the NFL schedule works, because mm-hmm. it's only 16 games. The guys are very used to routine. It's a massive trip. You're going to have, you know, jet lag issues. And that, to me, would be a... oh, crap. Like, when is that sandwich between? Like, hopefully your bye week is either right after so you can catch your breath, get back on used to the right. regular time zone. So that's like kind of how I'd say most NFL players would look for. When you break down the games, it does, because I'm with you. I've always been like, especially like as a player, you're like, who cares? But now I kind of mock it. But then once you actually see some of the matchups, it does get kind of exciting. Like, well, you can look at some of the games and be like, all right, this is going to be pretty fun.
Sure. And I think it says a lot, obviously, when you are the hottest team around, like, those teams are going to get the most primetime games, right? So New England has the five primetime games this yeah. year. How many did Cleveland, was Cleveland second, or did they get five as well? Like, they have a lot
no,
of
No, there was like
games.
An interesting, like, there was an interesting, like, Cleveland plays New England and they're going to do it at 4 p.m. They have four. So that's a massive increase for them, which
right.
is great. They're going to want to trendy just, picks.
It gives you some idea of who's trending in, at least in the minds of the executives in the NFL or the NBA or whatever, you know, whatever league you're playing in.
So I love some, like, Pete Prisco listed his most notable games. The Saints Rams NFC rematch. The only thing I wish that game wasn't in LA, that it was in New Orleans, just because mm-hmm. that's where it took place. You can see that Browns at Patriots. I was really pumped about this game too, because you're going to see Baker go on into Foxborough, you know, all this talent, see how they do. Packers at Chiefs is a sneaky good one, just from the quarterback aspect, like Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
That's going to be awesome. There's also a Chiefs Patriots rematch in Foxborough. This team's played twice last year, the AFC Championship rematch. There's just some really fun matchups. Steelers at Jets. Like, looking at that one, you're like, all right, what makes that one? You got Le'Veon Bell there now playing against his old team. The only better matchup that I would picture for the Steelers this year would have been if they played the Raiders, to see how Antonio Brown and that whole thing. So they meet in the playoffs.
Right.
Obviously they won't, they won't get to play in the regular season, but it's pretty cool. The thing I noticed about New England's schedule, I'm going to pull up New England's schedule real quick, because their schedule is very favorable as far as where they're playing their games. They have all of their tough opponents at home. Like, we just saw the Cleveland's going there. And, you know, years past, you'd be like, well, what's the big deal about, you know, the Browns? But the Browns are going to be better this year. Steelers at home is a good one. And it's at home. It's a good opponent. Jets, Bills, like their usual AFC's games, they're going to have, they're usually rotating. Giants are at home. The Browns are at home. The Cowboys are at home,
yeah.
and the Chiefs are at home. Like, all of their tough games are at home.
The rich get richer, babe.
I think it is. Like,
what happens?
I don't know. I was watching NFL Network this morning. They were talking about coming up with a schedule. I get that they have to travel some and they have to get some at home, but this is a cakewalk schedule for them as far as where they're playing, because they always have that edge at Foxborough, and they're going to have it even more so.
Yeah, well, if you compare that to Oakland, right, who's got like the toughest strength of schedule and then the most miles traveled by
right.
any team this year.
Right.
You know, it's interesting that you would give one of the worst teams from last year the toughest haul this year with the most travel and one of the best teams from last year. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
I think that's interesting.
Sure.
You can't find some middle ground there, but it is what it is.
So we were talking about the international games. Like, that's one of the things to play.
What is the deal with that? Is the NFL that big in London? Are we?
No, I don't think they are. Now, they'll sell out.
Right.
There'll be some fans that'll be at the game. Like, it is, the NFL is trying to go global. I think they're trying to do what the NBA is doing.
Are they?
The problem is, everybody plays basketball worldwide. Football is not that common. Like, it's a soccer, you know, Europe, all
right.
of it is a soccer driven, continent when you look at it. But the NFL is trying to go global. I think the goal is to have an NFL franchise in London. There's a lot of speculation that Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, would love to do that.
Right.
That seems to me like why they're doing so much, so they can just say, hey, look, this is normal. You try to build an NFL fan base before that franchise is planted there.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do it. Like, to me, it drives me nuts when I feel like soccer is thrown down our throats in the U.S. Like, hey, if you want to like soccer, that's great. But don't get all mad at me if I don't watch it. You know, and that's
yeah.
what happens. Like, the World Cup comes around, the MLS, there's always, you know, there's a heavy, heavy push to watch these games, and you get a lot of promotion for them, which is great for that sport. But again, like, it's never going to catch football. That's why I don't think, like, why is the NFL wasting their time trying to jam it down Europeans?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if they're consuming it when you go over there, scheduling, let's take scheduling out of the equation, because you know, you're talking about travel. Unless you're only going to make those teams play East Coast teams, a team that would be based in England.
Yeah.
You know, if they've got to play East Coast teams, which isn't feasible, like that's one thing. But when you're asking those guys to go all the way out to LA and out into those areas to play, I don't know what that does in terms of travel for them, versus the rest of the league. But if you're going to take a team over to London, they'll consume it. They're coming out in droves to support it. And you're the only thing that exists like that in England. I think you would be fine.
Yeah.
I do. And you're getting the best players on the planet. The thing with our soccer players.
Right.
They are not the best players on the planet. And forgive me. I mean, MLS is a great product. I like it.
But you're not getting
the best product in the world. They would be. And they'd be the only team, in Europe. So, you know what I mean? So
all right,
have the support.
How about this? If you're the union, the players association, are you agreeing to that? Because those players are going to have to live there. You know, like yeah. those 53 players that are playing on, if it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, whatever team, whatever franchise.
Am I agreeing to allow a franchise there?
Yeah. Like if you're the union, are you agreeing to that? Because that's going to affect a lot of people.
I don't know.
Major life. You know, like
I'm not the smartest dude in the
world. No, I know.
But you're creating 53 more jobs.
True. Like as a 23, 24 year old, like I was single.
That'd be pretty cool.
I would have been like, but if you got kids, you know, like I think it could be. I would love it. Right. But I think some guys would be like,
you'd have to get the pulse. What would you probably do is just make sure you got a real true pulse of the guys that are already in your union.
Yeah.
See how they felt because it would affect some of them. Possibly in trades or what do they call them? What are the drafts? What do they call the drafts when you're trying to start a new franchise?
Like a supplemental draft?
Yeah. So, you know.
Did you ever play internationally while you were in the NBA?
Yeah.
So they had regular season or preseason?
No, preseason. And that's what interests me here because, you know, there's so many fewer games in the NFL and you're taking four of them to play abroad. And I don't even know how many regular season games are played abroad in the NBA. Were there any this year? If there were.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
No, baseball did the weird thing during spring training when they had, you know, it was, Ichiro's last game.
Right.
They did that, but it was like, then they had more spring training games after that. It was really weird
how
they did it. I got to play in Tokyo
when
I was on the
cool.
Falcons. They used to have the Tokyo Bowl and they'd have, you know, different teams go out there every year. It was awesome. Like in that time, again, I was single. It's a long flight. We were only there about 4 days, so your clock is totally messed up. But one of like the things like you remember about it was, you know, I guess as a country, let's just say Japan is a little bit smaller on the size.
Yeah.
And NFL guys are a little bit larger. So, and they don't have a lot of black people.
Right.
So it was like, oh my gosh, like you'd be walking through the streets. And if I was with an offensive lineman who was a black dude, it was like they saw like Elvis or something. Like it was like, oh my, like people are taking pictures. They're looking at them. So that was one thing. Then after the game, we were going back to the airport and, after the game, like some of the guys had snuck on some liquor and like you're sitting there. No, it wasn't it was after our flight on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long flight. A lot of dudes were partying on the flight. So we're going to the hotel and it's like whatever time, it's like rush hour at the time. And Tokyo's bigger than New York City. Like rush hour is a mess.
Right.
We had a police escort, taking us to stay. So as we're going through again, like all these, Tokyo, like people stuck in traffic are pointing, looking at us going through.
Yeah.
One of our bigger offensive linemen had been drinking too much and we were on this big, like four buses caravan. So all these people are like taking pictures of us. He like, they popped open and out and he like stuck his head out and just yacked all the side of the road. And I kept thinking like, what are all these people that are looking at this NFL team coming to town?
Yeah.
Like what is going through their mind when they're looking at these dudes like yacking out
great
the back
promo
of the bus?
For your, Wizards Knicks was in London this year. Remember, Enes Kanter couldn't travel because.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because of his
passport.
Issue. And that was regular or preseason?
That was regular season game. I played only preseason games abroad. I played in Mexico City. The Jazz played the Mavericks, I think, one year. And then we did a tour of Italy, when I was in preseason with the Suns and played a cup type of thing with the Sixers and the Suns and then two European teams in Germany, one preseason, but never a regular season game.
You know what's interesting to see happen too is they're doing another city, another game in Mexico at the same stadium, I believe. Remember last year the game was moved because
right.
they had issues with the turf. So hopefully they get that straightened out as the Chiefs and Chargers are scheduled to play Monday, November 18th for Monday Night Football. So that'll be pretty cool to see that happen. So that's our take on the NFL mm-hmm. schedule. Hopefully people enjoyed that. There already are wagers on week one games.
Yeah.
Who do you like? Packers at Bears. Bears laying 3.5.
No, I'll take the Bears.
All right. You're taking the home team.
The Bears,
all right. Yeah. All right. That's your lock.
That's
of the
a good lead pipe lock.
You can go ahead and put that in now and wait 6 months till that to
that
play
Pats.
Out. Yeah. There's some good little matchups here. I am getting more and more excited about the season as we actually can see some.
I generally get more excited about football college football and pro football when it comes around than basketball. I'm never way out in front of basketball, but I will start tuning in and trying to figure out what's going to happen with football season.
Monday Night Football, the first game is Broncos at Raiders. Surprised the Raiders are the favorite, laying 2.5 against the Broncos. Obviously, that Antonio Brown addition. The thing that drives me nuts about all these lines that we're getting, we don't even know who they're drafting.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, they could have different quarterback. I mean, what if all these situations happen? Like, who's going to be on the squad?
Do you think that they should wait to release the schedule? I mean,
They have a, because the NFL has this genius setup. They really do.
But I would like to know, like, what if one of these Kyler Murray's in Arizona? You don't think that's something that people are going to want to see and tune into, and maybe it would affect whether they get a primetime game?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know what I mean? That is, oh, absolutely.
It's only a week away.
Right. It absolutely should. It's a good point. They have it all mapped out though, like, cause they try to own the year. And the NFL does a great job of by spacing things out.
Okay.
And it's like sometimes they'll do some things that, you know, kind of I think is a dig at the NBA or Major League Baseball.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that's why. They probably, you know, it helps. And maybe it amps up the interest to the draft because it's a week away.
Yeah.
Kind of gets people more excited about it. That might be a reason they do it, but they definitely owned it. Josh Rosen, this is from Coca, was not featured in the Arizona Cardinals schedule release video.
Message.
Take what? Yeah, exactly. I think everybody knows what's going on now. I just think it's interesting for Josh Rosen if he gets traded or not. By the way, the Falcons, did you see their Game of Thrones release video?
I did.
That definitely won the day.
Yeah, pretty dope.
Like, that was pretty cool. Pretty and it dope. Was like, really, the animation was really cool, too. They did a good job on that. So, well done by the Falcons. You guys win the offseason.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, welcome back to Kennell and Bell. So, I got a confession to make.
Yeah.
And I need your advice.
Confession.
I need your advice.
I was on the radio the other day, by the way.
It was?
Yeah.
All right, I need your advice on this one.
Yeah.
So, I am on a text chain. I'm not a huge fan of text chains. I like our show one, though. That's pretty good, because I don't think anybody abuses it.
Right.
Like, we have show ideas and stuff. It's pretty good. My family has one, and there's a couple things that really annoy me about it. One is somebody, I have a hunch it was my sister, named it This Is Us. I think that's kind of corny, like right there. Isn't that the name of a show?
That's the name of a show. Yep.
So that's what I don't even like the show. Yeah. It's like, I'm not a huge fan of the show, but do you think it would be rude of me to exit the conversation?
No, I do it all the time. Or I
will they know? Can I mute out of it?
What I usually do, cause I don't care.
Yeah.
I will say, why am I in this? Please start another one.
But the whole purpose of this thing is like, it's kind of like prayer requests, like if anybody has any problem, like you're thinking about each other,
sure.
Like lifting up the family members. So there is a positive vibe behind it. Yep. But again, I'm like,
sometimes you just got to say it how you feel it, bro.
Right.
Why am I in this?
Yeah.
I haven't responded in 3 months.
Yeah, I'll have
Please
to do
take
that.
Take me off.
I'll have to do that. All right, I'm going to get to that. All right, NBA playoffs. Last night, the Rockets blow out the Jazz again, 118-98. It's just total domination in this series. Harden dropped 32. He was 11-24 from the field, 6-13 from the 3-point line. I got beat on this game. I was actually a little irritated last night. The total was 215. I took the under. You even looked at me like, why are you taking the under yesterday? I thought with the Rockets' new defense, for a while, I think it was 70-44 at half. Like, it was some crazy score. They were dominant. I'm
sure.
Like, maybe the Jazz just won't be able to do anything. Maybe they'll score 80. Then, of course, when things get out of hand later in the game, it just kind of, you know, they started scoring. So I lost my my bet on the total there, which I was kind of bummed about.
This one wasn't super surprising to me after seeing the way game one played out. It kind of surprising overall because I thought the Jazz would be putting up more of a fight than this. Well, I guess I discounted how good the Rockets really are defensively. They've really been able to hold Utah in check. Like, no, the Rockets do what the Rockets do offensively, but defensively, they've really been doing a great job. You're talking about Donovan Mitchell, 11 points on 5 of 19. Rudy Gobert, you know, only 11 points. He's a minus 20 on your plus minus. First game, of the series. The kid from Australia, I can't recall his name right now. I don't know, but he's been huge for Utah all year. Joe Ingles.
Yep.
3 points, I believe. They've been doing a great job, and it's not just, you know, they're just scrambling and they're all over the place. Every shot that Utah gets is either contested or someone's blocking it, you know, and that speaks to the level of intensity that you're playing with defensively.
Quinn Snyder, coach of the Jazz, compared James Harden to artificial intelligence. Quote, he usually figures out what you're doing. Then you have to adjust to what he's figured out, and then he'll figure that out, and then you go back and forth.
Yeah.
It sounds like they have their hands full, which everybody has trying to cover James Harden.
Yeah, but that, you know, I think people don't, you know, got people who don't really know basketball don't ever factor that into the equation with James Harden. It's just how smart he is in, you know, when you're talking about a guy that every game is going to see some sort of different kind of defense and he still manages to shred it, that guy's playing cerebrally at a different level, not just physically, but mentally. And you've heard Mike D'Antoni kind of talk about how smart he is. You know, that is pretty interesting. AI is a good way to kind of describe that because I can't do that. No, there are very few people that can really diagnose on the fly exactly what's taking place and by the second quarter have figured out the antidote for it.
When these series get set up for round two, most likely Rockets versus Warriors, I'm thinking about taking the Rockets because I think you can get good value. Like, I still think the Warriors are going to win, but I think it's worth the value play,
Robbie,
to take the Rockets.
You get – the Rockets are playing better than the Warriors right now.
Yeah.
That's why I can put it. They're playing better. There's a level of defensive intensity that's there. Offensively, they are clicking. Everyone is producing. They are doing what they're supposed to do. The Golden State's not playing bad, but they're just not playing their best basketball right now. Houston is. So if you take last year as any indication when they got pushed to seven, I would not be afraid to take Houston. And I don't even think it's a stretch to think that Houston could beat them. I'm not predicting it, but I think that'll be a really, really good series.
Yep, I think so too. So I'll hit you back up for that when it's all set and see if we're still feeling as confident on that one, or at least that it's worth a swing at it. All right, baseball, your favorite topic to talk. If they got a dilemma going, there is definitely a shift in baseball.
Yeah.
There's old school versus new school, and new school is making some serious inroads.
Old school need to get out the way.
No, you're crazy. Old school is the way the game should be played.
The bus is coming. Get out the way.
So we had a game yesterday where Tim Anderson, the White Sox, hits a home run and does the old bat flip against the Royals. They're playing fourth inning. He doesn't do the bat flip. He tossed it. He chucked it over there. But then look where the catcher's standing for the Kansas City Royals. Throws it right by him. Then the next time he comes up, takes one in the back of the hip. No big deal. That's par for the course. Now here's what I don't understand. Tim Anderson's walking. He's just talking. He didn't charge the mound. He didn't do anything. Nothing really happened to this. He just took his punishment and moved on. Why can't we all just move on in the game from this point?
I'm with that. First of all, first and foremost, there is someone who's tasked with coming out of the dugout to retrieve a bat. Correct?
Yes, a bat boy or
so
bat girl.
I could make the argument.
Come on.
That he took
all right,
that
go
bat
give me that garbage.
And threw it at his own dugout, thus making the job easier.
Oh, get out of here with that garbage.
Number
Look,
one.
Let's keep this above
number
board.
One. Number two, you're right, what is the beef? He's not allowed.
Because he pimped out the home run. He showed up the pitcher.
No, but I mean, after he got hit with the pitch, what is everybody's beef
well,
as he walks down to first base? Sure, he's going to say something to the pitcher.
Right, and I'm okay with that. And the catcher was there. Like, the catcher didn't hit him. They just were walking down. The umpire, I thought, like, blew this way out of control. And then, as in most baseball fights that unfold, everybody comes on the field. They yell at, rah, 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 what are you going to do? Hey, I'll kick your butt. And then they all get separated. Everybody goes back to their business.
I support the ejection of the pitcher. I don't understand why the hitter had to get ejected.
Because he was the original perpetrator of the original crime.
I'm going to go back and oversimplify as I always do. If you don't want someone to celebrate a home run, don't let him hit a home run. It's as simple as that. It really is. What I don't understand how the answer for someone hitting a home run and celebrating is you trying to maim someone with a hard ball
from
70 feet away, throwing it 200 miles an hour.
This is the unwritten rules. You go below the belt, like so, and usually you try to hit them in the low butt or back of the legs because it can't hurt anything.
Until you don't hit him there and you hit him in his
these guys are professional. These guys are professional athletes who can put it. They can paint the corners right there when they get in there. Tim Anderson wasn't having nothing of it. Didn't matter after the game. He's tweeting out videos, GIFs of the bat flip.
I love it.
And tweeting it out there. Then, so a dude comes at him, Randall Grichuk. Grichuk.
Old
Grichy. Plays for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, old Grichy.
Guys are getting a little excessive on pimping home runs, on meaningless home runs too. Act like you've done it before. One time, preach it. My man Randall getting it. Tim Anderson
old
comes
Grichy
right back at him. smiling, laughing emoji. Put a name on so we can see who you talking about, brah.
Brah.
Keep it 100. This is outstanding.
I love it.
See, now I want to see when these dudes play against each other.
I think it's good for baseball, too.
I do, too. See, that's the ultimate thing. I like that there's an old school versus new school.
Correct.
I kind of like some of the new school philosophy. It is fun. I like that it makes the old school guys grumpy and that they do have, like, again, we talked a little about Ovechkin's fight the other day. A lot of people are talking about it. Like, this brings up the conversation. Now people will probably watch today's game, if they even play today, if they have another game in this series. But you're just more likely to watch. Now more people know who Tim Anderson is. He's got, like, a lot of yesterday.
The problem exactly. with Tim Anderson, and I don't know if he's that good or not, he might not be a good enough player to really move the needle for a player like that. I do think there needs to be an Aaron Judge type of player or a Giancarlo Stanton type of player or
Mike Trout, Bryce Harper.
Yep. Who does that? Right, Bryce Harper.
Back at people?
Yeah, who's got personality? So baseball purists and stuff have to, you're forced to accept that person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Too often in baseball, your best players are all buttoned up, and so you never, as a baseball purist, have to step outside of that lane.
Right.
You need one that breaks the mold. Andre Agassium, where everybody, he's so good that you're forced to accept that we're changing this sport.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
but
baseball
I hope,
doesn't have that.
But see, here's what I hope too, is that I hope that baseball's okay if pitchers start doing the same. We talked about this the last time. Or what if pitchers start coming out and they get a little bit crazier with, you know, brushing them back and not hitting them, but brushing them back before they do the
bat. That shouldn't be the answer. If that's going to be the answer, if that's going to be the answer, every time a pitcher strikes someone out, if he even does like a little, yes.
Right.
And that guy should be able to run up with the bat and hit you in the thigh. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Right.
If I celebrate,
but nobody's
at all,
cool with that. Like, the pitcher's going to start retaliating by fist pump.
That is
saying,
fine.
Sit down,
what's
have
wrong
a seat.
With that? Like, nobody just, said sit down and have a seat.
No, but they but will. If, like, that'll be the next
guys
thing.
I strike people out, and you show a little bit of emotion.
I just don't like.
I don't know why we're. All right. So here's a. This was a tweet, right?
Yep.
Current Reds pitcher, former St. John's basketball star Amir Garrett.
Yep.
He says, "I feel like a lot of baseball players couldn't survive playing another sport. Why do people get mad for bat flips? Your feelings hurt? Laughing out loud. Imagine somebody dunking on you and talking mess right in your face. You just gotta get even. That is the approach, and I'm with him. If your skin is that thin, man, what's gonna happen when, baseball's the only world in which you can exist.
So Amir Garrett also followed up. He said, my take, bat flips are cool. You take it to the chin and wear it. But next time you face him, strike him out and do whatever you got to do. Fist pump, moonwalk, cartwheel, do whatever. I'm all for it, but both ways.
I'm with that.
But I don't want it to become some circus sideshow. Like, I do like having sportsmanship.
You're talking about isolated incidents, though. Not everyone's going to do it.
But see, here, that's the thing. Tim Anderson, it was a meaningless home run. I am cool with bat flips if there's something on the line, it's emotional, it doesn't seem premeditated.
Right.
This one seemed like he was going to bat flip to make a name for himself. And I think that's why the old school guys are like, hey, wait a second.
So you're not, so you have no room in a basketball game for a dude like shooting the three arrow when he makes a three? You don't enjoy any of that?
No, I do. I do like
soccer.
It.
Do you enjoy soccer players?
No,
celebration after
soccer.
Goals?
I don't like soccer, period.
You don't like that? What about football? Like when you score a touchdown?
We've talked about it. I don't love the over the top. I like a little quick celebration. I don't like the elaborate, pre-orchestrated.
Dude, bat flip is a little celebration. I mean, he didn't take the bat, twirl it, do a baton routine with it, toss it up, catch it.
I think the biggest flipped the bat. I think the biggest problem, if you look at the video, I think the biggest issue that Kansas City had with it was close to the catcher, and it looked like he said something to the catcher, and the catcher looked at him, and then that gets back. So I was playing minor league baseball.
What am I talking about? Basketball all the time. Yes, bro. Hey, you better call a better pitch next time, bro. I'm out.
So
I got no beef with that.
I played one, like three quarters of a season of minor league baseball on the Newark Bears. My third game there, still new, hardly even know anybody. We're playing the Somerset Patriots.
Somerset.
And it was like a rivalry, I guess. I had no idea. Right, like in the Atlantic League. So the third game, we're going at it. Something happens. Something transpires. And they're like, next time that dude comes up, we're going to hit him. And they're like, be ready to go. And they're telling me this.
Yeah.
And so then like one of the older guys comes up to me. He's like, hey, he's like, this is what's going down. He's like, we're all going to go out there. There's going to be a brawl. He's like, he's like, keep your head on a swivel. He's like, watch your back. He's like, no one cares about, like, he's like, you don't have to get into it, but you have to go out there.
Sure.
I was like, all right, cool. I'm like, if we need to throw down, I'm ready to go. But he's like, no, he's like, just stay out of it. Stay on the fringe. We'll all protect you or whatever. So I was like, all right, cool. But similarly to this, Royals, White Sox fight, our managers got into it.
Right.
And they were fighting. They're like old dudes. And that was the best part about it. Like, I was loving it. I was out there watching. I'm kind of laughing. All these guys,
right,
these old timer, like you talk about old school, like the jerseys ripped off. They come back.
That's great.
But the fans were loving it.
Fans loved it.
See, that's why I think you kind
of
like,
you got to infuse a little bit of spontaneity and celebrate. You have to infuse some life, if you will.
Yeah.
A better way to put it.
Yep.
Life into baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think that's a good thing with all these conversations, all these people like have different opinions about. It's good because we're talking about
mm-hmm.
baseball,
yeah.
Which we don't usually. All right, welcome back to Kennell and Bell, talking a little politics in between the break and a good laugh out of that. So, are you moving to New Orleans? The reason I ask is because your boy David Griffin has taken the new gig with the New Orleans Pelicans, and I know you probably got a text, didn't you?
I texted Griff when I heard
congratulations,
congrats and stuff like that.
What was the offer? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think Griff knows my heart's not in that.
Right.
Griff,
you already had your experience in Cleveland.
Yeah, he knows that I don't really.
All right, so he was talking about Anthony Davis, you know, one of the best players in the league. There was a lot of speculation. He wants out. He's going to leave. They weren't playing him. He says, hold on a second, as I lose my voice right there. Mm-hmm. AD's time with the Pelicans might not be over yet.
Word.
His quote was, we have a long, successful history with Clutch Sports. Rich Paul and I have spoke about Anthony. We are both excited about what we could potentially build here. Rich Paul and I were part of succeeding. They will understand when I say this. You are either all the way or all the way out. Has not spoken directly to Anthony Davis, but reportedly has set up a meeting to talk soon. Does it matter that David Griffin wants him? Can he keep him there?
Ultimately, I don't know that he can keep him. I think it does matter that David Griffin wants him and sounds like... Now, there are two schools of thought. He could either be posturing to make the rest of the league, you know...
Drive up the price?
Correct. Like, we're not going to do anything. Our hand's not going to be forced here. Or he could really be making a play to try to keep AD. If he makes a play to keep AD, David Griffin is one of those guys... that is great at conflict resolution. He's able to get both sides of the problem to the table, mediated to some degree. And then he would just have to show Anthony Davis, and he's also very good at this, the plan. Not every front office is great at articulating and laying out their plan, how they're going to get from point A to the desired point B. They do that very well. Or Griff does, and the staff that he had in Cleveland. I'm sure he'll assemble a very similar staff in New Orleans. And so, you know, you have to show these guys what you're going to do to get them the support that they need to make them the viable team that they want to be on. And I think Griff can do that. But he couldn't do anything else. There was no other play for Griff in this. He had to come out and say,
yeah,
Anthony Davis is here right now. Hold the phone. We're not sure what's going to happen with him. We're going to make our best efforts to retain him. And I know this also about Griff. He's not going to be forced to do anything. He really isn't. Like Griff's going to do it his way. And if he thinks it's in the best interest to keep him there for a while and then trade him at another time, then he's going to do what he's got to do.
What's the plan though? What would you sell Anthony Davis on? Like, you're not going to bring another one player to join you in New Orleans, are you? It's a longer term build around you plan,
which
has already been sold, I would imagine, and it didn't work.
I don't have, well.
You know?
Anthony Davis was here. Anthony Davis was there with a front office that he clearly lost faith and lost trust in.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you were saying to him at that point,
right,
he ain't buying it. The question is whether or not he would believe in Griff. And his management team, Clutch Sports, has every reason to believe in Griff. They've worked hand in hand with Griff in assembling a team in Cleveland that was able to win a championship and go to four straight finals. So if anyone would speak to Griff's ability to kind of execute a laid out plan, it would be Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. I don't know that they're able to get a number one guy there in New Orleans. First of all, I don't know what their cap situation looks like. I don't know what type of tangible assets they have. I do know that as a free agent destination, New Orleans is not number one on most people's lists. So it's going to be a little harder for him to do that. Having said that, Cleveland wasn't a great destination either, but you had LeBron and Kyrie. That in and of itself will attract players to come play there. So, you know, the first shoe falls, you get someone maybe via trade that's not a LeBron or something.
But it's a good player.
But it's a really good player. You've got him and an Anthony Davis that are committed. That becomes attractive now. I don't know what their draft situation is again, but maybe you got a draft pick.
26% chance of a top four pick.
Yeah, dude. You land one of those. You have some pieces in, what's the guard's name? I really like him. He's got a brother that plays and he's married.
Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday. He's a good piece. Maybe that's good enough to flip the two of those for something really meaningful that is a solid number two or a 1B type of player. Now you've got two good players. You can now entice maybe the third to come up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're starting to build it. I don't know what it looks like. I haven't talked to Griff about it. Anybody can.
I hope he gets him because I think it'd be great for Griff. Because what does he do without him?
Yeah.
Then it becomes, you know, then what kind of pieces do you get in a trade with the Lakers or wherever else, which might be, I think that might be the more exciting route if you're a New Orleans fan. Like, I don't know. My hunch is that Anthony Davis goes somewhere else.
Right.
And that you'll see Griffin get to build something with the pieces he gets in return for Anthony Davis.
Julius Randle has a player. All right. So, what did he say? He said,
checking text.
He was really impressed by their situation, in New Orleans is what Griff said when I sent him a text about hearing that he had had the meeting.
Yeah.
And he said, I woke up feeling pretty fired up. So Griff isn't a dude. He sat out a couple years.
Right. He can pick and choose.
He can pick and choose where he goes. Griff isn't the type of dude that's just going to, you know, lurch at any dangling job because he has to. There's got to be a situation in place that he feels is set up pretty nice for him to do what he wants to do and execute his plan. And from my experience, I think when Griff puts his mind to doing something like that, he usually can do it pretty well.
Bro, you got to make news on here more often. Like, you can get these texts and read them like you're breaking news. Like, you could have said, like, the other day when he was hired, you could have said, all right, bro, here's David Griffin's comments on being hired. You could have been the first one to the table there. Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Let's get that out there. Russell Wilson. I think there are two camps on Russell Wilson. I think there are the people that really like him a lot. I think there are the people that can't stand him. Where do you fall?
Love him.
All right. Why do you love him? I think he's great.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think he's like the guy, kind of like Steph Curry in the NBA. Like, I want my daughters to watch him and look up to him. He's a good guy. He's a good dude, but he definitely has his haters. I think what he did the other night just fed his haters, like just threw gasoline on that fire. Because
what is there to hate about him? What has he ever
done? That he's a little too cheesy. That he's a little too fake, that he doesn't give you the real Russell Wilson.
You ask all of your quarterbacks to be that.
I agree.
You ask every single quarterback, and everybody who would be a hater would stand up there and kill every other quarterback who's not politically correct and gets up to the podium like Blake Bortles talking about ripping cigs and
right.
He's not presidential enough for the job and he's not the CEO that you want for the job. So this man comes up and he does exactly what you ask a CEO to do. Not make any waves. Be politically correct. Say nothing when they ask you a question. Everything that you would ask from that position, and then you hate him? Shame on you.
So here's what I like about him.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, most importantly, I think that his teammates on the offensive side of the ball, there's been a little reports of the old, and guys that are gone that weren't too high on Russell Wilson.
Jealousy.
But,
all of
them. Yeah, exactly. Eight. So Tyler Lockett and DJ Fluker, I think they do the thing that shows you they actually like him because they spoofed his video when he announced it, and it's epic. These dudes did a really good job. Have a listen.
Hey, Seattle.
That's Russell.
We got a deal.
Bro, don't get no gangster in that. Look at
go
that.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Time for y'all to go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
All right, here's the response.
Hey, Seattle. We got a deal. Go Hawks.
That's epic because Tyler Lockett is decked out in several chains.
Phenomenal.
And Fluker pops out from under the little sheets just like he's Sierra.
Phenomenal.
Outstanding. Outstanding work right there. I did notice that time because you had said it multiple times.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson did drop the bass on
Man.
You. And he gave you a little bit more than you don't usually see.
Yes. Russell Wilson is, you know, they talk, when I grew up, right, whether this is right or not, my dad used to always talk to me about playing the game.
Yep.
You know, and essentially that was politically, like whether you're in school or when you're dealing
Absolutely.
With people, you gotta play the game, man. Sometimes it might not be what you want to do or the way you want to act, but you gotta learn how to play the game. Russell Wilson plays that game, baby.
Yes,
and
he does.
He does exactly what you need to do when you need to do it. And I've got no beef with that whatsoever. I thought the video was as boss as you could get. And I know people hated it.
You just got a $140 million deal.
Yeah.
You're laying in bed.
Bro.
With your superstar wife.
Come on, man.
I agree with you. That is about as boss as you can get. I can't stand because there is a younger generation attitude. And I think it's really the NBA is probably leading the way in this. It's just, you keep it real. Like you be you. Who cares what anybody thinks?
Right.
And it's a good philosophy to have, but a lot of times it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you a job in life, maybe not in the NBA or certain. And if you're good enough, if you're a superstar,
that's the thing. If you're good enough, it usually doesn't matter.
Right. But there's a lot of guys that I think try to abide by that philosophy, and it costs them opportunity.
Right.
Because guys are like, I don't want to deal with this guy.
Sure.
You know. So I don't know. It's one of those philosophies.
I will be teaching my kids to play the game.
I will be teaching my daughters to do the same.
Yeah,
absolutely, it's the smarter thing to do. All right, welcome back to Kinnell and Bell, hanging out, talking a little bit. NBA playoffs are in full swing. Last night's game I thought were kind of boring.
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest with you, they weren't that great. Great finishes.
Boston, Indiana for a minute. And
yeah.
Kind of bleh.
From a line perspective, it was really interesting. The spread was 8.5. Was it 7.5 or 8.5? And they won by – it was 7.5, and they won by 8. There was a little controversial
crazy
at the end.
It.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy finish towards the end. Tonight's game I think is going to be much more interesting because – this is why, like, some of the games that we're seeing are the individual beefs that are cropping up. So you got Kevin Durant versus Patrick Beverley, which I think Patrick Beverley is totally under Kevin Durant's skin. Mm-hmm. Durant tried to put it to rest and say no, he wasn't on his presser yesterday. Have a listen.
I'm not gonna get in the way of the game because, you know, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverley. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am. This series is kind of weird because, you know, when the guy is that small, you know, you got the advantage. But, you know, the refs see, you know, we hear David and Goliath a lot growing up, you know, so that story is pretty much prominent in people's minds. So when you put that out there on the court against me, then the refs going to give him a little bit more. So when he run up on me like a pit bull, grab me, hold me, I don't mind it. That's how he make his money. That's how he feed his family. But if I throw something back, then let us play. You get what I'm saying? So I got 4 or 5 offensive fouls like that. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, each possession, how I could be more effective without getting offensive fouls.
All right, KD is trying to step up to Patrick Beverley. Does he know how it worked out in David Goliath? I don't know if you want to news that because the little dude won in that
right,
one.
Right.
So he better be careful. I don't think he really wants any of Patrick Beverley from a physical standpoint. Now, on the court, he might be right, but I do think he's absolutely under his skin and in his head, more importantly.
Yeah, I think the fact that he's got to sit up at a press conference and talk about Patrick Beverley.
Doesn't that bother the crap out of him?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Yeah. That in and of itself lets you know that he's in his head because this is something that I've now got to talk about at a morning shoot around. I really do enjoy the way Kevin Durant handled that, though, and I thought he had some really good points. I would have rather he just say, Patrick Beverley, y'all know who I am, and not have to say 3 times I'm Kevin Durant.
Right.
I would have liked him to just let it be dead there.
Right.
But there is something to the fact that refs are allowing Patrick Beverley to basically manhandle Kevin Durant. And when he tries to, you know, exert his, like, strength and ability to push Patrick Beverley around, they're calling offensive fouls. I say if you're going to let that be a physical matchup, and you guys have talked about it before the game, hey, you know, that fans like to see this or whatever your mandate is. Like, we're going to let Patrick Beverley, you know, get a little physical. I think Kevin Durant should be afforded the opportunity to do the same back to Patrick Beverley. And in game one, they didn't need Kevin Durant to saddle up and score 40 points for them to win the game.
Yep.
In game two, they might have, and it was, you know, in the flow of it. They kind of got caught sleeping at the wheel. I think in game three, you will see an effort to get him the ball in some more advantageous positions where he can kind of exert his will offensively on Patrick Beverley. I don't think they need to get out of character to his point and for it to become a one-on-one matchup, but I do think you need to exploit it if you're going to have 6'3 playing 6'11 in the post. I think you need to take advantage of that.
Yeah, how is Kevin Durant only listed at 6'9? Because that's clearly not
that's
the case. When you look at this, what's the more likely thing that'll unfold here? Because the refs obviously are going to hear these comments.
Yeah.
Are they? Because I actually think it is smart to alert them this way. I don't think it was super aggressive. I don't think he trashed the refs. He just said, hey, they need. Will they call the game a little differently, saying, hey, he has a point, or do you think they'll be a little irritated that he brought it up?
No, I don't think they'll be irritated. I thought he did it the right way, and I thought he...
Which is a good thing, because if they are noticing it more, then they say, hey, we're going to call it one... They're going to set the tone early one way, or they're going to let him both play.
And he handled it well, saying, I don't mind that they let him do it to me. It's not like he's crying
but
about
just let us both do it.
Let us both do it.
Right.
I think they'll appreciate that, or at least they should. The thing about refs, Danny, is you never can predict what they're going to do.
Right.
Because they've got their little egos involved in the game, and he's got a history with them, so now you never really know what's going to happen in the playoffs. Generally speaking, people don't pay to see Patrick Beverley get under Kevin Durant's skin to a degree that costs Kevin Durant ejections in playoff games. So if I were betting my money going off experience, I would imagine you see some early fouls on Patrick Beverley if he's being overly aggressive on Kevin Durant.
Who do you got? Warriors are laying 8.5.
Bro, you put everything you got on the Warriors.
Really? You think they just smoke them tonight?
Smoke them tonight.
Really?
Yes.
All right, take it to the bank. I actually probably will try to take that to the bank. I'll follow your advice. Then you got game three with the Sixers. They're going to the Nets, going to Brooklyn. Any retaliation or impact of anything from Joel Embiid's?
Nope.
The flagrant, the comments after, laughing, the ultimate disrespect?
Nope.
Nothing?
No, they're not built like that in the NBA anymore. It's not that kind of league. It's just not. And I don't, you know, who on that roster with the Nets is going to do it?
Well, that's the billion-dollar question.
Yeah, there's nobody that's going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, the best way you could do it now is go out and let your game do the talking. I know that sounds all cliche and whatever, but go out there and if you're the Nets, punch them in the mouth early with your game. Spread them out. Attack that pick and roll. Keep going at Joel Embiid in the pick and roll situations and Boban Marjanovic. Let those guards go to work. You've got, you know, Caris LeVert, the kid Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell. All of those guys were having field days in high pick and rolls. Let them continue to do it.
All right. So Dudley was asked about it, who we thought could have been the enforcer type player.
Oh, you
might
thought.
Take
I
you
never
say
did.
No.
I said no.
So his comments, he came out. They asked him what he thought about Joel Embiid laughing. He said, I felt a certain type of way about it. Just because you're laughing when somebody could have gotten really, really hurt, that's been Embiid's personality, but just because it's your personality doesn't mean it's right.
Sweet.
It's soft. They really did not respond. I'm hoping they
There's
do something
no response.
More than that. Sixers favored by three.
What we need to do is have – this is what we need to do in the NBA now. We need to schedule therapy sessions for the
Seriously.
Two involved. That's where we're at now.
Ridiculous.
Some conflict resolution.
Exactly. They've
Get Joel Embiid and Jared Allen. Sit them down with a counselor. Let's work through this. What did you like about what Jared did?
Right, exactly.
How'd that make you feel?
That would be the best. That is what we're going to nowadays. Sixers laying three. Who do you like?
I'm going to take the Sixers.
All right. Last one, Nuggets at Spurs. This is a little bit interesting. Denver gets game two to kind of even it back up. Now they go to San Antonio. Think they can carry out, build off that, and they take control of the series? Or
the Nuggets are they're not playoff proven, and so I think they're going to be a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of team in the playoffs where, well, they'll be good one night, not good the other night. I do think there's some momentum there about the way they finish the game. I'll take the Nuggets to win it. The 3.5. I guess I'll take the 3.5.
All right. I have something that's more impressive than LeBron James, all the finals appearances, than Jordan 6 rings, than pick your great
Tommy
athlete.
Brady.
Yep. Better than Tommy Brady.
Tiger.
Are you aware? Better than Tiger's comeback at the Masters?
Right.
I don't know if I'll go that far.
Thing ever.
Are you aware of what's happening on Jeopardy right now?
No, and I love
Jeopardy. There is a dynasty happening right before our very eyes.
I think I saw that dude.
Yes. So his name is James Holzhauer.
Yeah.
He's going to shatter every single. Ken Jennings
really?
Was the old goat. You
he,
are seeing
he was
a
the
new
dude,
goat.
Ken Jennings was the dude who bet everything every time, right?
Yeah. This dude's taking it to a whole nother level. He's going everything every time. He's broken his own record just last night. He won 131,000 in one show. Beat his previous record of 110,000, bringing his total up to 700 grand during his 10-day run. Now, the thing that's crazy about it, Jennings won more than $2.5 million. He had a 74-game winning streak. Jennings
74-game winning streak?
He's on pace to surpass Ken Jennings in just 36 games.
Oh, my God. So you don't cap out? There's not like if you
I thought there was,
games,
too.
You're out of here?
No, you can just keep going, like forever. There used to be like a five-show minimum. Now they let him go.
You could,
this dude's going to be a he's gonna be the next Warren Buffett
make,
with his
make
Jeopardy
a living
money.
As a Jeopardy player.
Heck, yeah.
I think I could do that.
Let's start studying.
I'm good at Jeopardy.
I watch it all the time.
Yeah.
How good?
Real good.